Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Goes wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed. I'm your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me, as always, the ever lovely and charming.
That's me. There I am.
Diane Farley. She's in black and white today. We couldn't afford color.
Mm-hmm. So black and beige.
Black and beige. That looks like black and white to me. Anyway,
on the screen, it looks white.
All right. And, of course, the amazing Philip James Gunger.
I also look white on the screen.
Mm-hmm. You do.
They're both black and white today. What about me?
You're black
back
and white.
To me. I am black and white. It's the black and white show. Day. Oh, my goodness. Don't adjust the chroma on your television. There's nothing wrong. It's just we're actually in black and white.
Yeah.
Engineering the show is always the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, engineer extraordinaire, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during this incomprehensibly, immeasurably boring show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at ask@markgunger.com. Everybody's hot in here. Everybody's waving.
Yeah. It's a little stuffy.
We also have the Croatian sensation on the floating camera as well today. Croatian, how do you say hello in Croatian?
Dobar dan.
Dobar dan?
Dobar dan, kako ste?
Dobar dan, what?
Kako ste?
Kako ste?
Dapper Dan Taco Stand.
Dapper Dan's Taco Stand.
Oh, no, that's funny. Phil, I wish I had your brain.
All right, so we have
and
another show.
And my knack of picking up foreign languages.
That's a real gift. I'm going to try to be nicer today.
Okay, you can right, try.
I'm going to try.
You can always try.
I was an angry elf on the last show because
give it your best shot.
This irritates me to no end.
Speaking and, of angry just, elves, have you ever seen people when we run reruns?
No. Ooh, oh my they goodness. Get angry elves.
It's like personal offense to them.
Because it's a rerun?
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're supposed disappointed. To. We're supposed so to, mad.
We're supposed, seriously?
Completely ruined my life.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not that intense, but it gets pretty intense.
Oh, yeah, it does. It's surprisingly yeah. how they get mad when it's
oh,
a rerun.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we should work a little bit harder then.
Well, life rerun.
You're just going to blow it off for a while. And
yeah.
Slow down for
no,
the summer.
Yeah, they don't like when we have the
yeah, reruns. No, we talked about that a while back, and then we had a rerun, apparently.
Yeah, we had a couple
excuse
because
me.
Of
and
the
yeah,
schedule.
And yeah, people were not having it.
Really?
But it was like two or three comments. It wasn't like 30,000 comments.
I don't know. Well, maybe we should work harder and rerun less. Or tell them to get over it.
Well, we haven't rerun for quite some time. It's been a long time
I don't
since
know.
We did rerun.
Very interesting. So anyway.
Okay.
And by the way, when I get really angry, I'm not angry at people, the individual. That's right. Honestly, I have no thought of who you are. Very rarely. Mm-hmm. It's the culture. It's the thinking at large that I think is very damaging. Mm-hmm. And I get angry because I just get frustrated. There's no way to fix crazy. You have to stop. Anyway, I'll try to be nicer today. All right, so we're number three into eight tips on how to make your relationship feel like it did in the beginning.
Yes.
Number three.
Reminisce. An excellent way to rekindle your relationship is to reminisce about when you two first met. Talking about the moment you first saw each other can bring back those old butterflies. Go on your very first date again. Laugh about those silly, awkward, but cute moments you once had. Bring up your first kiss and how you knew he was the one when he just went for it.
I think that's a good idea. That's actually biblical.
Yeah.
Remember your first love.
Yes.
Go back and do the things you did in the beginning, Jesus yes. said, to rekindle your passion for him.
Yes. And I have heard not. This one from several different yeah, sources. I think
good.
That's a good
that's
one.
Good. Okay.
You're not going to stomp on that one.
All right.
The next one, date differently.
Yes, date different people.
Not
and that
different
will help
people,
to
differently.
Help kindle. Oh, differently.
Differently. Your once romantic dinner.
Well, I got
dinners.
That one wrong.
No, right. You're once
I'm sorry, Debbie. I just try to follow the instructions here.
Different people. No, differently.
Show up to different places at the same time.
Your once romantic dinners turned into TV dinners while watching the news. Uh-huh. Turn this around. Start planning out actual date nights with each other. Mm-hmm. Switch off planning the dates to make it fun. So take turns planning, I guess. Go on dates that you both have never been on. Try a new kind of food together. Travel to a different city. Date differently.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. I like that one.
And that goes against step number one, which is spontaneity.
Right. You have to actually have to plan.
It's intentional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah. This one, I know you will not like, spice up the bedroom.
Well, it's just not against spice up the bedroom. It's just, why would you take oregano and peppers and stuff and start throwing that all over the bedroom?
Yeah, dill kind of makes a mess of the sheets.
What the heck? They said to spice it up, you know, and, you know, you put a little habanero sauce in there, man. That gets really hot. There's a spicy burns the skin, man. Okay.
It says spicing it up shouldn't be meant for just the kitchen. You also need to spice it up in the bedroom. If you and your partner's sex life has become one note, you're going to need to add in some flavor. Think back to how you two got down in the beginning and do those moves again. Let the wild side of you show again. Try out new moves or even new places. Who knows where this can take you?
It could take you into a public square.
It could take you all kinds of
trouble. Being arrested by the police.
Right? Take you.
All right. I don't know.
Even the one-note samba can be beautiful music.
It can. Right.
Just depends what rhythm it's being played in, huh? Right?
I think there are people that the sex life becomes boring because actually they're overstimulated. I think they actually have too much sex. You know how you really fix this? Go on a sex fast. Mm-hmm. Pick however long would be long for you. 2 days? A week? 3 weeks? I promise you, it changes it. You will not be bored anymore. It's like eating. And you're eating, and my food doesn't taste good. Well, put more spices on it. Well, I kind of get used to that. Well, you know, it's like people like hot food. At some point, you could pour liquid lava in there. It's still not hot enough for them. You know, how about maybe you don't eat so much? Mm-hmm. How about you fast for a day? The Bible actually talks about fasting, of being physically together.
Mm-hmm.
To kind, this can be a helpful thing. All right. Is that enough?
Yes,
we'll do
sure.
It. All right. So we'll save. We'll just two at a time and be done with this.
Eight tips
Christmas.
Over 8 weeks.
There'll be three left. We'll finish next
eight
time.
Eight tips over 4 weeks.
3 weeks.
I was just being sarcastic.
Three.
Sorry,
weeks.
We don't use sarcasm.
We'll get it done in 3 weeks. There's only
the
three more. We just did three. There's three more. We'll finish it next time.
But you started the first. This
oh,
is
that's
the
right.
Third
we went three. Oh, you ruined the math already.
Ah, nah. The whole show's over. Forget it.
Sorry.
It's all fake shot.
All right. A couple more. We'll have it done. We'll take a break and we'll come now back with your brilliant, insightful emails right after this. Mm-hmm.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
Oh, Mark, I'm your back. You're on. Oh, yeah. Here to talk about Transition One, a transition program for young men and women, Christian young men and women, coming out of high school, taking a 1 year off to put God first in their lives before they start in college and career and everything else. I understand, and I, especially those who are into sports, that's not much of an option for them. I'd even challenge that. I just slow down, man. Everybody's so hurried to rush their kids off into college to make money. And then they're shocked when they're in their 30s and 40s and their lives are falling apart and ending in divorce and their kids come home pregnant and everything else. Oh, what did we do wrong? Really? How about you slow down a little bit? You put them through college, they put them, or high school. You say, well, they're good Christian kids. Yeah, but all they've done is live off of your faith. They're, what's that word when you're drafting, when you're behind another car? They're, you know, you get behind another, race car drivers do this. Mm-hmm. They get behind another car because they draft, because the other car's taking the resistance of the wind, and they ride along until they get their chance to break out. Your kids, by and large, good Christian kids, have been drafting off of your life. You and Dad are the devout Christians. You bring them to church and stuff. Now you're just going to throw them out on their own without a chance for them to really develop their own faith? I don't think it's a good idea. Take a one-year program, like Transition One, here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and we teach them how to really focus on life, how to make decisions, how to plan financially, how to balance a checkbook. It's amazing how many of your kids don't even know anything about balancing much of anything. How to make decisions about life and marriage and love and dating and all these things. We spend time, it's not a Bible college, we spend time for several months in the first part of the program just teaching them the basics about life and giving them opportunities to serve. They need to learn to serve. The last 3 months of the program is we send them to, they pick a place. We've got missionaries around the world that take them, and they're safe places where they get to go in and serve. And it's not just a one-week vacation-like missions trip. This is real missions work where they go and they live with these people for 3 months. And they learn, not everywhere in the world has Wi-Fi. They learn, not every place in the world has high-definition TVs. They learn, not every place has McDonald's. It teaches them to do life. They will be forever changed. Take 1 year. Put God first in their lives. Go check it out, transitionone.org. We are back. Mark on the show. The lovely Diane and the amazing Phil answering your questions about love, marriage, and relationships. What do you got?
Okay, she says, I recently overheard my husband asking for prayer and confessing to one of his friends from his men's group at church that he's having a problem with lust and saying that this has to be from the devil because I'm madly in love with my wife and how I'm one of the greatest blessings God has ever given him. I know my husband loves me and he's a wonderful man and I feel blessed to have him in my life. She is a manager for her job and there's a lot of stress. She works a lot of late hours. She says her husband is very helpful, but still between the stress, the health issues, that sometimes it causes them not to have sex for sometimes maybe 2 to 3 weeks. Or maybe once a week, and sometimes she tries to make up for it, you know, if it's been a while or whatever. She knows with the stress and the family and all of this, you know, that's contributing to it. She said, my husband's trying to be understanding and is very loving and kind to me, but also not been very happy with our lack of sex. I don't know if that's why sometimes he gets so distant and cranky and not wanting to
talk too much. Do you think? Do these people read what they say? Do they hear what they say?
She doesn't know if that's the reason.
Stop and think. What do you think? The guy's not getting any sex. Most men, on average, need sex every 3 days. That's on average. Some less, some more. On average, every 3 days. You're giving your husband once every 3 weeks. I wonder if that's why he gets grumpy sometimes. The answer is yes.
He says, she says that he says we do the same thing every night. It's always TV, then bed, and talking about work and the kids and the house, and then I fall asleep. He says he wants more of me. My question to you is, how do I balance my job, our children, and my husband, and for him to get more time with me?
Your problem is you don't take the sexual part of your marriage seriously at all. Not at all. You're not serious about it. The Bible calls your sex your marital duty. This used to be very commonly known in Christianity. And in fact, if you watch old period movies and stuff, you'll hear women referring to their duty, you know. And of course, everybody laughs because they're puritanical and, you know. But no, no, they're just being biblical. That's what the Bible says. It's your duty. I bet you do your job with your duty. I bet you clean around the house with your duty. I bet you clean the toilet when you need to clean with duty. Howdy duty.
Clean up the duty.
Clean up the duty if there's duty on the floor. That's your duty to clean up the duty. You do all that stuff. But then you're not being serious about making love to your husband. Your husband says you overheard. First of all, what are you doing overhearing his confessions? What the heck's that about? That's a little psycho. What is she even listening to her husband talking to the men's group? What is she even doing in the men's group?
No, it was a guy from the men's group. So maybe they were standing in the hallway at church. Maybe they were at the house. She wasn't at the men's group. He's a guy from the men's group. Guy from the men's group.
The thing is the reason your husband is very frustrated sexually is because you fail to be a wife to him. And if he winds up committing an affair, in my opinion, it's your fault. It's just that simple.
You need to do better budgeting. It's like saving money. I'd save money if I had any money left over.
No, you have
to intentionally save money, just like you have to intentionally plan to have sex.
Yes.
Not just, we'll see if at the end of the day I got anything left.
And if she has a lot of stress, she has to try to figure out how to manage some of that stress, because clearly she's not saying that he's the point of stress, as you made the point in the last show. Her job, her family, her blah, blah, blah is the stress. But stress, as you said, can put the kibosh on a woman's hormones and the whole sex thing. And
keep talking.
I was trying.
Keep talking.
I was trying.
I'll tell you what. Let's take a break, early break, and I'll come back. And I want to read to you something that I think you might find very insightful. You won't like it, but you'll find it insightful. Early break. We'll be back right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
All right, we're back. We've got an email from a lady who only gives her husband sex like once every 3 weeks. Do the math, ma'am. That's, what is that, 10 times a year?
She said sometimes more. She tries to make up for it.
Oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But we do know a thing that her husband is frustrated, talks about his real struggle with temptation, because that's a natural state for a man. When you make love to your husband, a wife is supposed to silence that in him. He says, it's the devil. It's not the devil. It's not the devil. He's wrong. And, of course, no one talks about this stuff, so we're not getting the right information. So this guy, oh, yeah, I'll pray for the devil. Go. It's not the devil. The Bible says every man is drawn away of his own, when he's tempted, is drawn away of his own lust. Mm-hmm. This is within you. This is not the devil. Not can the devil tempt you? Yeah, but what he's describing, that's not Satan. You stop having sex with your wife, I bet you start having trouble with temptation. And it ain't the devil. It's your flesh screaming. That's why you're supposed to be having sex with each other. That's what Paul taught. I want to read to you from a theologian by the name of Adam Clark. This is 200 years ago. Because the church used to understand this stuff. Now the church never talks about this stuff. And everybody's all jacked up. If you want to follow the Bible, Paul says that a husband and a wife are supposed to be having sex with each other. Here's what, and this is in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, verse 3. And Clark writes this, 200 years ago, some have rendered the words not unaptly, the marital debt or the conjugal duty, which we were talking about, doing your duty, that which a wife owes to her husband and the husband to his wife, and which they must take care mutually to render. Else, here's what the problem is. See, this is what you don't hear. If you don't do this, alienation of affection will be the infallible consequence. And this in numberless instances, this is 200 years ago in the church, numberless instances has led to adulterous connections. And in such case, the wife has to blame herself for the infidelity of her husband. Are you hearing this? This is the way the church used to talk. Nowadays, somebody commits an adultery. Oh, you know, he's so bad, and you're a poor lady, and let's go hug you, and we'll comfort you, and your husband's so evil for committing adultery. No, 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 no. You caused this. This is on you. The church used to think in these terms. This is what Paul taught. The guilt that was on you for causing this. I'm obviously, they're both guilty at this point. Mm-hmm. But you're the starter of this thing. This is why they do it. If your husband, my dear woman, goes out and has an affair on somebody, it's on you. Don't you dare sit around and have all your girlfriends pray for you and comfort you and stuff. Oh, he was so bad and so evil. You did this to him because you're violating the scriptural teaching. It says, he continues to write, her husband, or her person, talking about her body, belongs to her husband and her husband to his wife. Neither of them has any authority to refuse what the other has a matrimonial right to demand. Do you understand that? You have no right to refuse this. What she's saying, I do have a right to refuse this because I'm tired, because of this, because of that, because the stars aren't aligned right, because I've been working so hard, blah, 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 and I'm watching TV. Here's advice, shut off the stupid TV. How about you guys quit watching television and spend time with your husband? To sit there and admit in her thing that what we do is sit and watch TV late and then I get tired and fall asleep and I don't have time for sex. Shut off the stupid television. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't take her duty seriously. Howdy doody time. Mm-hmm. So check this out.
Howdy doody time.
This is what the theologian, 200 years ago, Adam Clark, strong Methodist, Christian theologian. This is how they thought 200 years ago. This woman, if she does this, not have sex with her husband, she does not love her husband, or she loves someone else better than her husband, or she makes pretensions to be fancied sanctity, unsupported by scripture or common sense. You either don't love your husband, you love someone else more than your husband, or you're fooling yourself with some kind of religious false sanctity, or you have lack of common sense. That's the thing with common sense. It's not common anymore. Mm-hmm. That's what makes me so crazy. And I'm trying not to be an angry off today. This is what they do. They totally ignore common sense. So here's a woman. She, I don't know. I overheard my husband having trouble with temptation. Mm-hmm. I wonder why. Because I only give him sex maybe 10 times a year. Maybe that's why he's really struggling with this. But we only have sex 3 times, you know, once every 3 weeks. Because, you know, we're tired. We said we watch TV for hours on end. Gee, I wonder how come we're not having sex. Where's the common sense in this? And here's the crazy thing. They think the problem is Satan. Mm-hmm. Satan. Is it Satan? Satan? Like the church lady.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's amazing how many Christians sit around and they listen to this thing and they think the problem is Satan. It's not Satan. The very premise of marriage is to quiet this crazy sexual drive, particularly that is in a man. Mm-hmm. That's why Paul says the bottom line to have a marriage is because you are burning with desire. Well, a guy gets married and he keeps burning with desire because his wife doesn't have sex with him. You have actually worked against the very purpose that God intended for marriage in the first place. The most important thing for you, my dear, not to work. Your most important thing isn't to clean the toilet. The most important thing isn't to organize all the little piddly snot that you got to do every day. The most important thing in your life is not to sit there and watch 3 hours of television and sit up late night with Conan O'Brien or whatever, who's on nowadays. I don't know. Is he still on?
Yep.
Okay.
He is still on.
Your most important responsibility biblically is to be a lover to your husband. If you're not being a lover to your husband, you're failing. That means you need to adjust. Well, I don't feel good. Well, then fix it. Well, I don't have the energy. Well, how about you stop doing the other stuff? I'm tired by that. How about you quit watching TV for 3 hours? Anyway, all right, I'm done.
Okay.
Oh.
Find your happy spot.
Oh.
Your place of peace.
All right.
Okay.
You centered?
I'm centered now.
Okay. Next email. She says...
It's not
okay.
The same lady.
No,
okay,
different. Good. So simplest
it's
form.
It's like he calms down and then you just throw things
know,
at him again.
It's just the next one. Doosh, doosh, right? So she says the simplest form of her question is, if my husband doesn't get my motor running, okay, am I supposed to lie to him and pretend he's
is
good
he a mechanic?
At it?
Yes, yes.
Faking
you're
is
supposed
just kind
to lie.
Of-
Do they listen to themselves? Do they read what they write? Yes. Yes, you should lie to your husband. Really? Okay, keep going.
She says, faking it is just kind of makes me sick, but not just faking it, not really responding seems like a downer. So if he's not doing it for her, is she supposed to act like he's doing it for her? She says, I don't want him to think I like something if I actually hate it.
You need to talk to your husband. You need to communicate, and that includes sex.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there could be underlying stuff here. We talk about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
He might be one of those guys who, when he was having sex with other women, that's why we're not supposed to do this, he really enjoyed doing A. She doesn't like A.
Well, he was into porn. She says he's been free for 6 months.
Oh, well, there we have it.
6 months. I asked, how long does the whole act take from initiation to finish? She said 5 to 10 minutes.
All right.
I said, have you discussed this with him and what it takes? She says, yeah, I've tried, but he gets sensitive about it and says I'm always negative.
No. You still talk about it. You say, I'm always negative. No, our Croatian camera person is like on drugs.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying. My best.
Okay, the pot. We're enjoying it. What was I just saying?
I don't know.
Oh, you need to talk to it.
Yeah, whether he gets upset about it or
not. Yeah, what if you have a problem with any other area? You got to talk it through. He doesn't like it when you talk to him. Okay, but we need to fix this.
Well,
and
5 to 10 minutes from start to finish, probably she's not going to get her bell rung. 5 to 10 minutes total from initiation to finish.
Really, sweetheart, I thought that was good. You know what the average for men today? 2 minutes. Start to finish, 2 minutes. So talk to him about it, you know? And he's got to relearn sex because it's not, you look at porn. Porn is extremely damaging. These guys get a picture of sex in their heads that is almost impossible to get out. You need to walk him through it. You need to understand, look, I want to be a lover. And I want to, you know, just tell him, let's try this. Let's try, don't do that. Okay. Well, I'll do it. Okay. Yeah. But it makes
me, I don't know. Well, don't act like what he's doing feels
good to you.
Because all that's going to do is perpetuate the problem.
You know, again, a common thing on this is the whole thing about oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it's wonderful. Both couples enjoy it. It's fabulous. For one likes it. The other one, they hate it. Well, then you got to stop. You got to find something else. Well, there's nothing wrong with it. Nobody says anything wrong with it. It's just, why would you insist? Here's what, if you're making love to someone, you don't make them do something that makes them want to vomit. Or whatever it is, disgusting thing. Maybe he sticks his, you know, tongue in her ear. And it drives her crazy. but he thinks this is hot. And she's pretending. Say, look, I love you, but that grosses me out. Let's work on stuff that I really enjoy. I want to show you how to be a lover to me. I love you. I care about you. I want to have great sex with you. Let's do stuff that I really enjoy. You don't want me to do stuff I don't enjoy, do you? I'm just calling on it. Talk it through. Or keep pretending and be miserable.
Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
We're back on the Mark Unger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. And the Croatian sensation can duck
she
out.
She needs her break. Funny.
What a show. All right.
Okay. She says, my dad passed away 2 years ago at the age of 52. Before he passed, he asked my mom on several occasions to find someone else and move on after he passed, so the three kids still living at home would grow up with some kind of father in their lives. Unfortunately, since men tend to be already married or biblically ineligible by the time they are around my mom's age, who's 55 now.
Ineligible. I like that.
Yeah, that's very true, actually. Mm-hmm. In the 50s, that's the as anyone knows, the pickings get mighty slim.
Yes.
Just because at this point, you know, I mean, we complain about late marriage, but even at this point, most men, eligible men, mm-hmm. that one would want to marry mm-hmm. is, in fact, married. Mm-hmm.
So okay. She said, what is your best advice to her? She met my dad randomly when she was 16, so she never really dated, doesn't really know how to even begin or where to find an eligible man her age.
I'm sure
she would love...
The dad died.
Mm-hmm.
He told her...
To find another husband.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure she would love
that. That's actually very common. My wife had that conversation with me when we thought she was going to die.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't remember that conversation?
She doesn't?
No.
Really?
No.
She was really drugged up.
She was really drugged up, and she's telling me, you know. And, so.
But now she doesn't
remember. For a while, I mean, it's finally stopped, but for a while, like two or three times, I had dreams of marrying other women.
Yeah.
They were like really weird dreams. It wasn't sexual at all. It was
just weird.
Very bizarre
dreams. Marrying somebody else.
So at one point she starts yelling at me. She says, how come you have dreams about marrying other women? Because some of them were funny dreams. Uh-huh. I don't get into it. But anyway, I said, I don't know. And I thought about it. I said, I don't know. Maybe it's because my wife was going to die. And she told me I should be thinking about other women. So she started thinking about it. And it gets in your head, right?
Yeah. She didn't remember that conversation.
I remember having the conversation with you. I said, really? I remember. Because she sat down. Yeah. We need to talk about you, you know, and that's a horrible thing because we all thought it's a miracle what has happened to her and how she's gotten pulled back. The doctor said everybody thought she was going to die, and she just hasn't died, and she's gotten healthy.
Oh, she's just like, right now it looks like she can live to be 90.
Yeah, I know. I mean, so it's just like, it's just amazing. Anyway, so she has this thing, and she starts describing to me the ideal woman I should marry. And of course, it sounded exactly like her.
It's so funny she doesn't remember that.
So I said, cut me some slack. I mean, that's what I saw anyway.
Okay, so
I will. If I happen to have another dream like that, I'm not going to share it with her anymore.
Yeah, don't. You learned, eh?
But it was funny.
After like three times.
Did I ever tell the one story?
Yes, you told me all of them.
Did I ever say it on the air?
No, not on the air.
Okay, so this is a funny story, Phil. I don't think you heard this. I'm at the altar.
It's the Phil cam now.
The Phil cam, okay. So I'm at the altar. And it's like, all of a sudden I'm thinking, what am I doing at the altar? You know, it's like, mm-hmm. What am I doing here? It's so weird. And I look at this girl, and she's like 19.
Oh, Lord.
20 years old, okay? And I'm going, the first thing I thought is, oh, Lord, where's my daughter? Because I'm thinking, you have to know my daughter. Mm-hmm. She would kill me if I did something like that. And I'm literally in my dream going,
where's Leslie?
Oh, my gosh, she's going to kill me. What am I doing with this? So, I mean, and then all of a sudden, boom, we're at the... resort in Hawaii on the honeymoon. We're not in the bedroom or anything, so it's not a dirty dream. Okay. So we're sitting in the restaurant of this big resort. And so the new wife suggests that we should retire to the bedroom to become more acquainted with each other. And I'll never forget, in the dream I went, well, I don't know, you know, let's see what's on the menu. Because I was hungry. And then I popped awake. And the first thing I thought is, oh, man, I'm getting old. Because if you're getting married to a 19-year-old and your first concern is, I think I'd rather have a sandwich.
Like the guy who wanted to have breakfast with his brother.
Exactly. So I think this is hilarious, right? I'm waking up. That's my first thought. I start laughing. I'm in bed laughing, thinking, oh my, how weird is that? I want a sandwich. I don't want the 19-year-old, you know? So I tell my wife the story. That's when she says, why do you keep having these dreams?
And not
I said,
well, so amused.
You know, hey, you thought you were going to die? You told me. I never told you that. I said, oh, yes, you did. So anyway. All that. So anyway, her question is...
So she says, I'm sure she would love to honor my dad's dying wish without compromising any of her strong standards. So what is your advice?
Look. You don't, she does not have to honor his dying anything. He is gone. Until death do us part. When someone dies, you're free. Free. She's not under any obligation to him at all. Not at all. All right? So let's be clear about that. What she can do to find another guy at this point, that's really hard because of the obvious reasons that we just said. She may actually wind up being single until she hits her 60, maybe early 60s.
But what if she doesn't want it? What if she's perfectly fine with just raising the kids, but she's only thinking, I'm getting the impression she's only thinking she needs to find somebody to honor the husband's dying wish.
No, she doesn't need to do any of
that. Not that she wants to find somebody.
Actually, this is kind of an interesting thing. We've never really talked about this. For women like this, there's women who are single like this, divorced like this, you know, widowed like this. They may, because of that time frame, you're talking 45 to even 60, I mean, everybody's gone. I mean, the vines have been picked dry. What happens now, by the time she starts hitting her early 60s, is quite frankly, a lot of guys now start coming on the market because they become widows or widowers or something like that. So some of you in that situation think, well, I'll never be married. Actually, the truth is some of you probably very well may be married, but you may not get married again until you're 65, you know, something like that. And, the nice thing about a widower is they come with no baggage. You know, it's not like they've been through other women and other divorces and stuff like that. So, you know, it's not like, oh, I'll never be married. Now, you more likely will. You might be 62 or something before, you know, people get on the market. It is what it is.
I just played a wedding like that.
What's that?
I just played a wedding like that. They're both widowers.
Yeah. So that's really what it becomes. And they're very happy. I mean, obviously, it's not like when they're 21, although I didn't ask. I presume they're still.
I
know people get married and they have a fabulous time. The truth is, if you're healthy, you can still have great sex no matter what your age, if everybody's healthy. The reason people struggle with sex is because for some reason, emotionally, mentally, or physically, they're not healthy. Mm-hmm. But some people are, they even in 80s, man, they can still just have a wonderful time being together. What are the common things that you read in articles on the, you know, retirement magazines? Are these older chicks and guys, they're still playing the field, man.
Oh, yeah, the articles on the rise in STDs and all the hookups in these retirement villages in Florida and things like that. Yeah.
Huge jumps in that means these old geezers are still doing the wild thing. Mm-hmm. And they're in their 70s and 80s. So some of you girls, this probably isn't very encouraging, I don't think, but unless you think, gee, I'm never going to find anybody, you very likely will. It's just the playing field changes again. It's different in the 20s. Everybody's kind of finding, but if you hit that middle situation because you're divorced or never found somebody or whatever, since somebody dies, you're going to hit that middle stretch where there's not a lot of people available, or you find someone else who's divorced. And the problem with that is you got two people now who are, or one that has a lot of emotional baggage from that. It's not that it can't work. I'm just saying it just becomes hard. But there's the later part of life now that some of you are going to eventually get to, and the dynamic changes again. And it becomes more like when you were in your 20s and 30s. Where more people get on the market. On the other hand, there's people who are absolutely perfectly happy, mostly women, because they're not men, with the testosterone thing driving them crazy, that would be happy. I mean, they've been married, they've had their children, they've got their grandchildren, they got all these things taking care of them, and they just don't have much of not that they can't have sex, but it's just not a driving force for them. And they very well may be able to stay single for the rest of their lives. And if your mom's happy, like, she certainly should not be thinking, gee, I'm obligated because Larry told me to get married. She's not obligated at all. What she was obligated is to be faithful to him till he kicked off. And now he's kicked off. Not to be crude concerning your beloved departed father. We all have family members that have moved on, kicked off. Okay, not in a mean way, but that's just the reality of it. So I think I've clearly beat that to death, huh?
You did.
Very clear?
You did.
You don't hear about stock lock like that often.
No.
But it's very true. Yep. Your life's not over. You know, people used to die very early, and people now easily, on average, to like 80s now. So there's a lot of life in front of you, and who knows what fun and joy and stuff that you'll run into later. All right, we'll take a break and be back with this next segment after this.
Download your free Mark Gunger app today to see all of the latest from the world of Mark Gunger.
Who I am is not at all. And we're back on the Mark Gunger Show. Mark, Diane, Phil, Timmy pushing buttons, and the Croatian sensation floating a camera around. We have people in Croatia listen to this, don't we?
Yeah.
I think they do, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you want to say anything to your countrymen?
I don't think they're listening probably today. They're speaking English, but hey, ciao, kako ste tamo.
What she said.
Yeah.
Okay.
How is everybody doing here?
The next email says, so I'm a 25-year-old girl. I'm Christian, born and raised that way. In my teenage years, I lived a double life because I was still living through my parents' faith, not mine. I had sex with two boys.
Like James Bond?
Lied to my parents.
No, that's not James Bond. That's Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible. Wrong music.
Double agent. Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, wrong song. Sorry.
This double
life. Now we owe royalties just for singing that.
So she says, this double life lasted for about 4 years, and then everything changed 4 years ago. I now have my own faith. My life has changed a lot. I've dedicated my life to Jesus every single day. So I have two questions, she
says. Question number one.
Should I tell my parents about my past, confess, and ask them to forgive me?
Well, you didn't do it to them. Why would you confess to them? You're supposed to make restitution to people that you've sinned against. Let's say I stole all of Diane's money, which I think it would be a good thing for me to do. I don't need to apologize to Phil.
I know, but her parents were the ones that raised her, so apparently she feels as if she has sinned against them in her behavior.
I don't know. I would say not. You know, it's like picking at a scab. Just quit it. Stop picking it. Let it heal. So I don't know. I don't know why, again, you didn't sin against them, unless what you're saying. Look, it's up to you. If you feel that's what you need to do, then do it. If it's bothering you, but I would say that's not necessary.
From a parent's standpoint, I don't want my children to put that and tell me. I would not.
I don't want to know. If Phil tells me, Dad, I want you to know that I was an axe murderer.
I was an XYZ. And, I did this, that. No,
and
I
that smell, your know. Smell coming out of the basement? Or some of the rotting corpses?
But I haven't killed in a while.
He hasn't killed in a while, though. He's got it under control.
Dexter.
I'd rather not know.
So, I mean, now, if my child was having trouble with it and they needed help working through some things, but it doesn't sound like that's what she's doing. Certainly, I would be there to help them if they were having trouble and needed me. But if
to be honest with you, it's at some point, you know, this might sound weird, but let's say you did some really bad things that your parents are not aware of. They think they did a good job raising you. Mm-hmm. Now you dump on them, now they're going to feel like failures. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the win there? Your conscience feels better, but now they feel worse. That's one of the problems with the whole confessing thing that's not done appropriately. Oftentimes people vomit all over somebody else. Mm-hmm. And like when you're sick and you vomit, you now feel a lot better. The problem is everybody else is now covered in vomit. Mm-hmm. And it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. And it makes them all sick. So sometimes you have to confess and make amends with people that you directly hurt. And that's clear. But beyond that, I'm just not a big fan of, you know, churches do that. I mean, I remember back in the 80s, a lot of churches used to do this where they would line up and they would apologize to people. And they would apologize to people that you didn't know that, you know, somebody comes to me, man, I want you to forgive me because I hate you.
That's happened to me and I just don't like it.
I'm thinking, really? You hate me? But now they feel good.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow, why did he hate me? I have seen of men who come to a woman like yourself and say, oh, I really want to apologize because I look at your breasts a lot.
I will never be able to look that person in the face again.
Phil, there were meetings like this.
I couldn't.
I know it sounds
me out.
But so now he feels better because he's confessed that he likes to look at your breasts. And now you're going to start wearing a burqa to work, church.
I'd be walking around like this.
Oh, I know. But now he feels better. And now you feel worse. So I'm just not big on this whole confession thing. Well, I was sinning against her because I was like, well, shut up. Stop. Confess it to God. Leave it alone. She doesn't know it.
Don't need to know it.
You know, and you're grabbing her breast, you know. Then you need to apologize, but even then, confession is not necessary because she knows what you did. So I'm just not big on it. That's my opinion. That's my opinion. I would leave your parents in peace. All right, what's the other question?
Second question. In the process of meeting guys and dating, should I tell them about my past? If so, when is the best time? Before starting dating?
The problem is we don't know what you're talking about. I don't know if, you know.
She had sex with two boys.
Yeah, I might.
So should she tell?
I might, you know, because it's in dating. Don't you start talking about things mm-hmm. like that, your past and stuff? And, you know, and for her, I'll say, I want you to know I'm not a virgin. You know, I've been with two other guys. And
see, that seems normal to me. Yeah, like, when you start getting interested in somebody, you would have those conversations.
I would think that would be a healthy conversation and just like expectations. I mean, mm-hmm. if the guy's going to marry you and he thinks you're a virgin, finds out on your wedding night you're not a virgin, mm-hmm. he's all upset, you know, that's not good. He said, well, what if he leaves me? Well, better to find that out now.
Mm-hmm. And that's why they don't tell, because they're so afraid of losing the relationship. But then you have trouble down the road.
Yeah, and he needs to know, how serious was this? Were you... Mm-hmm. Do you have a problem saying no? You know, were you in a serious relationship? Mm-hmm. You were in a serious relationship. Are you over it? Because it's hard to get over it, particularly for women. Men, it's much easier. When women have sex, they generally bind very hard to the person that they're with. You separate that, they still feel very connected. Is that at play? So I don't know. What are we talking? One night stands? Were you like a big time lover over a long time over this? Mm-hmm. Did you do a bunch of stuff that you really enjoyed and you're expecting him to do that? So yeah, mm-hmm. I guess it gets a little complicated. That's why it's best not to do these things in the first place. I would spare your parents.
But do have the conversation with somebody she's dating.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd be the first thing at the date. Hi, I'm Susan and I screwed other men. How about you? You mm-hmm. know, I don't know. At some point you get serious and you know, in all honesty, yeah, I think it'd probably be good to cough that up. So anyway,
the confession thing reminds me of, you ever seen the movie The Goonies?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where they take yes. a kid and they want him to confess, and he starts from the very beginning of his life, every bad thing he's done.
They want him to start talking about where the treasure is, right?
Mm-hmm. Confess.
Confess, confess with it. So he starts talking about all the
everything
bad things
he did.
It's a hilarious scene. And this kid just goes on and on. He's crying.
That's telling funny.
About all, and they're all looking at him like, what
and
are you talking about?
In fourth grade.
And then in fourth grade, I did such a... It's hilarious. Yeah. So anyway. And again, there, you know, do you need to tell your boyfriend that in the fourth grade, you know, you stole something. You know, I mean, this stuff that's just irrelevant. The problem with the sexual thing, it is relevant
yes.
to the marriage. That's why you don't need to tell them that you did this, that, and the other. But anyway, all right, we'll take a break and be back with the final segment right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
Grown to love these rainy days. I hold you close.
Listen to the production of this.
We sit and watch the world go by. Oh, heaven knows. Those heavy clouds. Gotta cry.
Listen to this music. Listen to this music.
We hear the distant wind and we pretend we're sitting at the rainbow's end. I've grown to love these rainy days.
Wow. Beautiful. Michael O'Brien. I love his music, mainly because it's not the same three chords over mm-hmm. and over again, like in most Hill songs or whatever mm-hmm. same thing. Ding, 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 ding. I was like, ah. Oh. It's like, I don't know how they can do it. I go crazy. I can't stand it. I just can't stand playing, not all Hill songs. I'm just saying these.
When it's just
I just happen to throw that in. If you're a Hill song fan, don't write me. I don't care. But just this contemporary worship music that takes all the skill of a baby seal to play.
Not a Navy seal, a baby seal.
Or some other simple creature, my cat. You know, how about songs that challenge the musicians a bit more, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm. Are you finished telling the kids to get off your lawn?
Grumpy old man.
Get off my lawn.
I'm busted. I'm a grumpy old man. I am a grumpy old man. Oh, man. All right.
Okay, she says, I am divorced and a mother of two daughters. I've been divorced 3.5 years. I have a liking for a guy in our church. Mm-hmm. And know
How old are the daughters?
11 and 9.
Okay.
I have a liking for a guy in our church and know that he walks his talk with the Lord.
You don't know that,
and
but go ahead.
That's exactly true. That's what I was going to say, but you beat me to the punch.
You don't know jack, lady. Mm-hmm.
And she says that's what attracted her to him.
No, then don't get married to him. Then, have a prayer partner. Mm-hmm. If that's what attracted you to him, that's that's not the attraction that drives marriage. Mm-hmm. What drives marriage is a physical attraction, by and large, and the emotional as well. But you're being attracted to something you think. You think
there's people. He could be a dirty, lying, rotten scoundrel, and because he looks like a good church man, when you see him on Sundays, doesn't mean jack, nothing.
She's in love with this image, this thing that she thinks he is. She may or may not be, but she doesn't know that.
Yes.
You don't know anything.
She says that she's not sure how old he is, maybe like 10 years older than what she is. She says, I've seen him looking at me, and when he sees me looking, he looks away. I'm unsure if I should approach him or wait for him to approach me.
Well, that could be all kinds of reasons. Either you're gorgeous or you're dressed really weird and you're...
You think you're a psycho stalker or...
Or you got toilet paper coming out the back of your dress or something. Uh-huh. He's looking. look away. We're being mean to her. Okay, go ahead.
I thought weird. I like how he always says weird.
She's like,
aw, weird.
Poor girl.
I'm just checking myself right now.
Okay, weird. Go. Running out of time.
No, that's all. She just wants you to give her advice. About
this. My advice is stop it. Okay, just stop it. You got girls that are 11, what?
9 and 11.
All right, so you shouldn't do anything for like the next 8 years. Let those kids grow up. Just let them grow up. You don't need that. Because I tell you what's going to happen. You will marry this guy. And first of all, he's not going to be what you thought, and you're going to be miserable. And then he's going to say something to your daughters that you don't like because they're not his kids, and you shouldn't do that, and you're going to fight over whose kids are. Just going to make everybody's life hell. These girls are going to have a dad, the one you divorced. He's still their dad, whether you like him or not. All right? You're not going to die. For 8 years, you're not going to die not having sex and having some man in your life. And easier, by the way, for most women than men.
But the Bible tells these young girls they should get married if they are young.
No, I think it's a bad idea, especially when you got virtual teenagers at this point. It doesn't work well. You talk to most of these blended marriages, they are in hell. They struggle. I have them come all the time up to me at like these conferences where blended families say, you're in hell yet? And say, yeah. I mean, it's really hard.
The Bible doesn't know if they're burning, though. It doesn't say if you want a prayer partner.
I'm just saying, if she is burning, then him telling her, oh, you'll be fine, you can wait.
Well, I don't think she's burning. Not by what she described. She's in love with, she thinks this is a nice, wonderful guy. You want my advice? You may not like it.
Fun storming the castle.
Stay single. Wait till they're out of school.